Colin Cullis now with Business Unusual on a Wednesday night. Could we ever forget this pandemic? I don't think we will. Not in a hurry anyway, Colin.
Yeah, that would be my thinking too, except that when we did start thinking about this and we said, has this ever happened before? This is unprecedented. And we looked and we saw there were many other pandemics and the most notable one just a century ago. Yet for many people, they were like, what? There was one like this? In fact, it was worse and it was just a century ago. And I'm pretty sure that the people living in 1918, where they had newspapers and photographs and all sorts of methods of keeping records, thought they meticulously documented and archived everything that happened to ensure that it would never happen again. And yet it did. And so this evening I was looking at the trouble of living in a short-term world and not having enough long-term thinking. And ahead of the show, I asked listeners sort of how long into the future should we be thinking? And the options were 10 years, little over half said we should be thinking for 10-year cycles, 23% said 25 years, 30% said 50 years, and only 8.5% said 100 years. Now, you would think that's crazy. Who would need to think for 100 years? Surely that is nonsense. Well, tomorrow is the first anniversary, 75th anniversary, for the nuclear bombing of Hiroshima. And in 75 years, and after we saw what happens when you drop nuclear bombs on people, we should have known, well, then let's get rid of nuclear weapons. Yet 75 years later, we don't have enough to entirely destroy the planet. We have some countries still actively pursuing trying to get them. So there certainly is a use for us saying, no, we need to learn some more. And just yesterday, seeing that explosion in Beirut, seemingly from stuff that was left there 7 years ago. Now, a very real problem in having fertilizer left in the port from an abandoned ship, this appears to be the case. Somebody said, look, we've got to move this stuff. But there was other more urgent things to take care of. And so the important thing was pushed on the back burner. 1 year passed, 2 years passed. Effectively, you were just waiting for the scenario to develop, because in all probabilities it would, for something horrible to happen. It should have only been a fire or something like that. Unfortunately, it was the worst possible scenario. And to give you one that's very contemporary for now, businesses love talking about how the culture and the people are the real assets in their business. But in the middle of a pandemic, you've got to cut some heads, in which case you shed those people. Now, we all know people actually do the work. And so hopefully they're writing down what they're doing. Somebody else will be able to pick up and learn the processes or the culture. But when they exit the company, only when the pandemic is finished will people look around and say, hey, where's that guy that always used to look? And how do we do this thing again? And you realize not only did you have to deal with a real crisis, but that the real crisis might be the one that comes afterwards. We've just forgotten how to operate a business. Companies effectively consist of the people. So I thought I'd pick up on a couple of projects about how we should be thinking about these long-term projects and where they actually have value. Because for the most part, humans, at their longest thinking, have a 25-year cycle, which is child-rearing, and probably a 50-year cycle, which is our own retirement. But generally around us, if we look to the political system, that's roughly a 5-year cycle. And in business, certainly for listed companies, it's a 1-year cycle. And that is far too short for you to get very much done. That's not to say that these plans don't exist. We have for a long time been warning about climate change and saying by 2050 we've got to get it sorted. But we're like, yeah, we'll get to it. The AU has an impressive 2060 plan, which is just an impressive plan at the moment. The UN has plenty of Millennium Development Goals and other plans for ensuring the future. And even South Africa has our 2030 National Development Plan, which was started in 2013 and is laudable for what it wants to achieve. But having a long-term goal isn't good enough. You effectively have to take that long-term goal and then break it up into something a little more achievable. And the reason for that is if somebody had to say, we need to end poverty, and you say you've got 5 years, well, you can't do it. But if somebody says you need to solve poverty and I'll give you 50 years, well, now that seems like it could be achievable.
It's so interesting, so because I was talking to The Economist, Dr. Adrian Saville, and just talking about South Africa's propensity for plans and this joy of publishing plans that are hundreds of pages long with some of the best thinking in the world. And you read these things and they are magnificent. And not a single thing that we see coming in these plans is actually ever achieved, because the plans are so big and so bold and so audacious and so long term that there nothing is achievable in the short term, so we tend not to start. And by the time we get close to the date of realization of the plan, oh my goodness, we haven't done anything, so well, it's too late now, so we then shelve the plan altogether. And Adrian Saville's view on this one was, actually what you need to do is actually, in order to achieve long-term goals, you need to set lots and lots and lots of small, achievable, short-term goals. So if you're worried about city infrastructure, well, don't go and build dams and things immediately. Get to the dams when you do. But first thing you do is fix the potholes. Run a competition for the city that fixes the most potholes on a sustainable basis. Fixes the streetlights. And every month you have a competition. And, you know, the mayor, I don't know, wins a new Mercedes-Benz, whatever it might be. That was my suggestion, not his, by the way. He's far too principled for that. But you've got to break your long-term, big, hairy, audacious goals into small, achievable goals. And really rally people around short-term wins in order to get a momentum going almost.
Exactly right. And so for every time we have municipal or general elections, the manifesto shouldn't be created every 5 years or just rehashed. They should effectively say that National Development Plan is fantastic. Where we should be by now for the National Plan is X, which of the political parties are going to raise their hands and say that's what they're committing to, or demonstrate that that's what they've done. If that's not what they've done, well, then we should consider an alternative. And if they are committing to say that's what they're going to do, we should look carefully at their plans and whether or not they'll be able to do it. And to give an example of that incremental thinking that leads to massive changes, well, we've covered Elon Musk a lot, and he's got this harebrained notion that at some point in the 2030s, there will be human footprints on Mars. But it's not going to get us there because he says so. Yesterday, the Starship, this incredible ship of his that he's built, took what at best could be described as a short hop, a little liftoff, maybe 100 meters off the ground, and landed without exploding, despite many of the others prior to that actually having exploded. And with the Dragon craft having come back with the people to the space station, those are the incremental small goals that once stacked one on top of the other allows you to go and put somebody on the moon. And another a little achievement, this is the period where we sent quite a lot of probes off to Mars, and the most recent one certainly from NASA was the Mars Perseverance. And some of the things that humans do to give us this long-term sort of objective and goal is NASA offered people to have their name encoded on a plaque on the Mars Perseverance rover. That is going to be sitting on Mars until we go and ruin it at some point. But otherwise, a very, very long time. My name is on that little plaque.
What?
Along with a plaque. Yeah, because it's open to anybody. There's 11 million other names, so I'm not like uniquely featured. On that rover is that plaque. If somebody discovers it in the future, they'll be able to read in this incredibly brilliantly stored bunch of writing, my name, along with, because the pandemic is on, a unique sort of dedication to healthcare workers, frontline healthcare workers around the planet, for their efforts to ensure that humanity will survive long enough to allow us to go to Mars. But here's some crazy ones that I think hopefully sort of can whet your appetite, and then some scary ones that we really do need to address. I'm going to mention the 10,000-year clock, because this is Jeff Bezos and the Long Now Foundation, who really want to develop this long-term thinking. And so on his ranch, and because he has $42 million to spare, they are building this enormous clock. It's a mechanical clock and will be able to keep time for 10,000 years with only the most minor of human interactions. And so by doing so, it effectively just says, hey, humanity, these are the kind of projects we need to commit ourselves to. And because they're kind of fun and they look weird and they will be a tourist thing you can visit, will effectively allow us to start thinking about us as ancestors for future generations. And if we think back about what our ancestors were, you know, we've got a couple of bones and some tools of theirs. And we have no idea really if those times were good or if they were fraught or if they were thinking about now. But we have that opportunity. And so when it comes to things like climate change, i.e. will we even survive it, these are the times where we can look at doing it. And a very big one that South Africa is included has to deal with is nuclear waste. And the challenge there in terms of our long-term thinking says we need to build and construct a plan that will allow us to keep a part of this planet, multiple parts in fact, safe for the next 10,000 years and in some cases 100,000 years. And in South Africa's case, we have until 2065 to determine what to do with the long-term storage of the nuclear waste that is currently building up at Eskom. Long after we have forgotten what's happened with load shedding and all those other issues with Eskom in the 2020s, we will have to deal with a 10,000-year problem of what to do with that fuel. And I do hope that humanity, given our propensity for taking on large challenges, and if we all sort of get together and start making those small goals and sticking to it, then we should be able to get through it. Unless, of course, the Vogons need that intergalactic high expressway and we get destroyed all along with it.
Quite possible. I like your sunny optimism, by the way, that we'll have our electricity problem solved by 2065. It's the most realistic time frame I've heard so far. Colin Cullis, thank you. Business Unusual.